Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, let's say hello to Dari Noka, friend of the show. Last time we saw him, guys, we're getting ready for the SEC Championship. You watch him on SEC Network. And, Dari, let's start with the news of the day, man, talking about your alma mater. By the way, you guys won your bowl game. Texas did. How you been?
Oh, shots fired.
You know I had to get you.
It's all good. It's good. You know I don't go in expecting our guys to win bowl games. What do you think you were talking about here? Come on now.
Dari in Oklahoma.
You cannot be a Sooner and not have a hellacious dose of reality. You kind of got to know who you're dealing with. You know?
But the news today, though, I think Sooner fans are excited. We get word that Jalen Hurts is transferring to Oklahoma. A lot of people saying, all right, Lincoln Riley gets to reload after losing, you know, Kyler Murray. And all of a sudden now, Jalen Hurts is going to be in contention maybe for a Heisman with Tua and Trevor Lawrence. Who knows? But he goes to Oklahoma where they throw it around.
This is it is big news. And I remember hearing 2 months ago, you know, that there was going to be interest in this, at least from OU's perspective. And, you know, it made sense. And I think on the surface, I think OU people, well, I know OU people are thrilled. You associate the national championship, you associate him with Nick Saban and all that, and everybody's, and I think it's a really good get for OU. But I don't think that this isn't going to be easy for Jalen. And I don't believe Lincoln Riley is assuring him anything. They've got the number one kid in high school coming in, Spencer Rattler, but now he won't be there till summer, so it will be difficult for Spencer to get where he needs to be. They got a dude from Texas that's really good. Tanner Mordecai is his name, and he's a dual threat guy. Like, if I know Lincoln at all, and I think I do, there will be a competition Jalen will have to win. That would not have been the case, in my opinion, at Miami, and it certainly wouldn't have been the case at Maryland. So I think he's setting him up for the highest level or the highest ceiling of potential success, but I also think that he's got a little bit of work to do, especially as a passer, to just slide into that offense and tear it up.
Yeah, it's Dari Noka. He's an Oklahoma guy. Don't make him a bad person. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, Dari, the thing is, you're right. You go from two back-to-back, you know, Heisman Trophy winners to a guy that kind of in the Nick Saban mold is a more athletic but game manager. I think I know it sounds like the dirty word to call a guy that's won as much as he has.
I think that's probably fair. You know, the one unknown here, we all know that he was not a great passer before. But then we saw him replace Tua in the SEC Championship game, and he made throws that, frankly, we hadn't really seen him make on a consistent basis until then. So how much did the work with Dan Enos help him? And is he truly a different passer, a vastly improved passer than the Jalen Hurts we saw for the first two seasons? If he is, look out. Now, he is not Kyler Murray, and he is not Baker Mayfield. For all of the things those guys did so well, I think, honestly, both were underrated as passers, which seems crazy. They won Heisman trophies, but I don't think they get enough credit, especially Kyler, for the kind of arm, the kind of accuracy he has. This isn't Jalen. Even if Jalen's better than he was, this still is not Jalen. So, you know, I want to, like, kind of pump the brakes a little on here comes the third straight Heisman trophy and playoff spot. First, he's got to win the job. Second, he's got to show that he's a better passer than we really remember Jalen as.
Dari Noka from SEC Network joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Dari talking college football with us. And, you know, I want to shift gears and just talk about the portal, because Mike and I spent a lot of time over the last few weeks talking about this with our own Justin Fields transferring to Ohio State. And we spent a lot of time on this. And people here in Georgia, obviously, you know, the new rules, the portal. And then we see this movement with you know, Jalen. And now, you know, Tate Martell. This is changing recruiting, isn't it? Does it take away a little bit from the recruiting aspect when you know some of these guys are going to end up somewhere else and how the rules are changing now?
Well, I mean, like, you know, guys, this has happened for years. It just hasn't had a place where we can all dive in, or certain people can dive in and then publicize the names that are in it. The portal didn't exist but quarterbacks not wanting to compete with others or sit behind others, transferring is nothing new. We just have a different element to it now. Now we know who's in it. Now we know who's looking. It was just one day where so-and-so announces he's going to transfer to blankety-blank university, and we're like, oh, really? No, didn't even know he was looking. Now we know who's looking. Now it makes it more intriguing. Now it feels like free agency. Like, you know, the best offseason storyline in every sport is always free agency. Now we have free agency in college football. You know, the mindset of a quarterback not wanting to sit, not wanting to compete, that's just coming with the generation that we're dealing with right now. Nobody wants to compete. Nobody wants to sit. Everybody just wants to jump in and play because there's a sense of a ridiculous entitlement that they should just get to do that. Right. Well, that's not how it works. Now they have a place to go. They have a place to let coaches find them, call them, and be re-recruited one more time because it makes them feel good. Called a portal. The idea is nothing new. I just think the portal changes, you know, how much the public knows, which is great for college football, by the way, because this has been so damn fun to follow.
Puts it out there. And, you know, Dari Noka joins us from SEC Network at ESPN here on the WadeFord.com hotline. But, you know, Dari, some says it devalues now the importance of signing day when you just touched on it, this whole subculture of the ego-stroked five-star quarterback. You know, are we going to spend a little less attention on this? Because now, you know, guy can go there, find out he doesn't laugh at the same jokes as the coach, and, you know, now he's in the portal.
Well, you know, signing day is, I think the beauty of signing day, very few programs in signing day ever get really, really excited, and fan bases ever get really, really excited about the elite quarterback, because there are only so many of those to go around. Signing day is where you build your lines of scrimmage. Signing day is where you want to see if you can stockpile a few really highly touted wide receivers. You know, signing day is our defensive secondary sucked. How many top 100 safeties and corners did we get? I think that's kind of what signing day is. And signing day is also for the fans, where does my program rank against my rival's program or against the programs in my conference? I don't think so, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't necessarily think signing day is all about the quarterback anymore. The portal is all about the quarterback.
Right.
The transfers are all about the quarterback. But maybe the only thing about it is when you're going over your favorite team's class or your coach and you're going over your class, maybe you just don't picture in your mind any quarterback coming in being in your uniform in 2 or 3 years. It's always going to be a possibility. There can only be one that plays, and they're the highest profile, potentially highest ego position in football. So maybe a little bit, but yeah, I don't think it. Now, I don't really follow the recruiting. I'm not a recruiting guy. I'd rather just wait and watch them in college, to be honest with you. But I realize there are so many people that are big recruiting people. Mm-hmm. I still think they'll get plenty excited about it.
Dari, let's talk about Clemson and where they are. It's Dari Noka, guys, on the line talking college football with us here on the show. Obviously they dominate the championship game, and you want to elevate them. People want to elevate their program and say, oh, it's the premier program now. I still have Alabama right there just because of the longevity of what Nick Saban has done. But where is Clemson? I mean, are they there? They're equal now? I mean, are they the second best program in the country based on what, you know, Dabo and company have done over the last 5 years?
I think at this point in time they are 1 and 1A. And I don't even care which one's 1 and which one's 1A. I think I would put them in their own category together as the two elite of the elite programs in college football. They've each won two championships, one in the last 3 years, one in the last 4 years. I mean, these programs own college football right now. They absolutely own the sport of college football. They own big game performances in college football. This is they're similar. They're the same program. Yeah, Alabama may have had a few more ESPN one, you know, or 300 guys, whatever. They both have phenomenal staffs, even if Alabama's rotates a little bit more than maybe they like. They both have incredible depth. They're both solidly built up front on both lines of scrimmage. They both have incredible quarterback play, and they're both destinations for the best players in high school football. And now they both win championships, and they do them multiple, you know, and they'll win multiple championships in a short amount of time. These are the same program, and they are not going anywhere. Now, I got some Alabama fans mad at me because I said what many people have said, and I said it in the third quarter of the game. I said, we're seeing a dynasty come to an end. And we are. I mean, you can't have a dynasty, guys, if you lose two of the last three championship games to the same exact program. Like, by definition, they own you of late in these games.
Right.
You can't have a dynasty if you've got somebody that who has your number the way Clemson has Bama's in championship games. But they're the two best programs in football, and frankly, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, and anybody or Georgia, they're all a step behind because these are 1 and 1A.
It's Dari Noka, guys, from SEC Network and ESPN here as we give you the Dog Report and some college football brought to you by Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. You mentioned teams, you know, beating teams at their rivals. I mean, when does Georgia break through? How does Georgia get clutch against Alabama?
Well, they almost did. I mean, they've been so close the last two times that they've played them. I mean, Georgia's they will not truly break through as an elite of the elite, in my opinion, until they beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And until they win a national championship, or another national championship, if you want to count, you know, what happened 4 decades ago. But this is
shot fired.
It's reality. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not firing my alma mater. We lose every big game. We're 0-6 in the last six championship BCS championship or playoff games we've had. Like, Oklahoma can't be considered in that same realm as Bama and Clemson, and Georgia can't either, but they're close. I mean, obviously they're right there. They're going to be having a, you know, you can talk about your Longhorns beating Georgia, but don't tell me Georgia didn't have what happened against Alabama somewhere in the back of their head, right? You still get credit for the win.
Yes.
And that's great. But if you line them up 10 times on a neutral field in week 6 of a season, how many times you got Texas winning that thing?
Exactly.
Like, it's a good point. It's a good point. It is.
Georgia's close. I mean, Georgia's obviously close. We've watched enough football to know that.
Dari Noka joining us, guys. We're talking college football. And listen, he said it as we started the interview. The offseason now is intriguing for so many reasons. The portal thing, you know, you obviously we've got another signing day coming up in February. But the way the season played out, you know, it's I can't wait till college football rolls back around. I'll be honest with you, because the idea is now that you're going to see some other teams that we haven't had a chance to see maybe compete. Notre Dame, real quick, I do want to mention this. They come to Georgia next year. They're going to have a daunting schedule, and everybody talked about maybe coaching changes. You don't see that, right? They're staying where they're not moving on from anybody.
Who, Notre Dame?
Yes.
Oh, goodness, no. This is the healthiest their program's been in 30 years. I think Notre Dame is
– because, Dari, the semifinal loss, you know, again, it makes people think that, all right, they're not where they should be.
Well, I tell you this, nobody had them running the table until that this year, I don't think. What are they, 2-3 years away, removed from a 4 or 5-win season?
Yep.
They've got a great quarter. They've got a great quarterback. They've got, like, most of their skill guys are coming back. You know, they reloaded the offensive line after losing 2 top 10 guys. Again, they're a step behind Bama and Clemson. There's no question. But I think Notre Dame's a very healthy program that's in that second level. And it'll be great. It'll be great to see Georgia and Notre Dame play in Athens. Although the first time they played, frankly, you look around the stadium, it looked like they were in Athens. But
right.
You know, it's still Notre Dame. But they're just not running the table this year.
I guess we've got like 20 seconds left, Dari, so got to be quick. But it's just because of the way they're losing when they get on the big stage, will that somehow alter? I guess the question is, would that alter the College Football Playoff Committee's feelings about them and another undefeated team next year if it came down to it? It could.
And I think that's fair. But they are really – hey, they keep putting OU in and we keep losing. Like, they're really good about looking at a team as it stands in that season.
Right.
So I think they'll do their job.
Hey, man, appreciate you as always. Be safe. Good to talk with you, Dari. Take care.
Hey, you guys are fun, man. Have a great show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.